Our first Bible lesson comes from the book of Acts, the Acts of the Apostles, Acts 5, verses 27 through 32. It begins on page 115 in the New Testament of your Pew Bible. Let me ask you this. How many of you were able to read this passage before you came to church this morning? Okay. And of those, how many of you read starting from chapter 5 so you knew the context? Okay, great thing to do. I'm not browbeating, I'm just telling you that it'll mean a whole lot more if you read ahead. That's my point in putting the lectionary in the bottom of the bulletin every Sunday. Also, if you have email, you hopefully received from me the plan for the next 3 months, what the scripture will be, and if you don't have that email or you want one, I would be happy to give you a hard copy. Kind of anything to read ahead in the Bible, get you a little exposure to the good book and get you prepared. Anyway, just a real brief context for what we'll read this morning in Acts 5. The apostles have been out preaching, performing signs. It is still a delicate time. The Jewish authorities are still fairly concerned about this revolutionary Jesus guy. Although he has been put to death, has been crucified and died under the Roman Empire, there's talk about a resurrection. There are still followers who are out preaching in his name, and it's got a lot of folks really upset. So much so that after one specific miracle performed by Peter and the apostles, they get thrown in jail because they were told not to preach in Jesus' name. Well, that jail couldn't hold them. An angel shows up with the key and lets them out. So the Jewish authorities are trying to figure out where they are. They finally find them back in They were back in the synagogue, teaching. And so they come and bring them back in front of the council. So that's where we pick it up. Verse 27. When they had brought them, they had them stand before the council of the Jewish leadership. The high priest questioned them, saying, "We gave you strict orders not to teach in this name, yet here you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you are determined to bring this man's blood on us." But Peter and the apostles answered, "We must obey God rather than any human authority. The God of our ancestors raised up Jesus, whom you had killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior, that he might give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses to these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Our next scripture lesson for this morning is from John's letter to the seven churches, which is Revelation chapter 1, verses 4 through 8. You can find that on page 230 in the New Testament. Hear these words. "John, to the seven churches that are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and frees us from our sins by his blood and made us to be a kingdom, priests, serving his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Look, he is coming with the clouds. Every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And on his account, all tribes of the earth will wail. So it is to be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty." The word of God for the people of God.
Our gospel lesson this morning comes from the gospel of Jesus Christ according to John. John chapter 20, verses 19 through 31. If you take a look at the front of your bulletin, you'll see a woodcut by the German artist Albrecht Dürer. Some of my favorite biblical scenes by Dürer. And I hope that this, even if you didn't read the description, I hope you would have figured out what that was. My son is really interested in his muscles, and so you got Jesus with a really serious six-pack there. He's looking good, both Zach and Jesus. But let's turn to the story that caused this amazing woodcut. You can find it in your pew Bible on page 108, down at the bottom right corner, John 20, verses 19 through 31. And just again, a context, this is still Easter Sunday. The last thing we hear is Mary Magdalene has seen the Lord resurrected, has run back to tell the apostles, and now it is later that day. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But Thomas said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And then he turned and said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Jesus Christ is risen. Indeed. When Jesus came back to life, he came back in a transformed and a transformative state. Because of the resurrection, the world is a new and different place. And because of the resurrection, you can be a new and different person. I want you to help me think about this gospel according to John, about this story of Thomas. And I want you to go along with me, if you'll trust me on this, and do something that might at first strike you as a little bit strange, but then you know me. So if you're willing, I'm going to ask you to stand up and to find one person with whom you can work for just a few minutes. So please do that. If you would stand up and agree to work with somebody. Okay, and if this is too weird for you, you can do it by yourself. It doesn't involve foot washing or anything, I promise you. Okay, I want you to turn to that other person and greet them with the phrase that Jesus used, "Peace be with you." Okay. Now I'd ask you both to take both of your hands and extend them with open palms to each other. Okay. Now one of you, it doesn't matter which one, because you're both going to get to do it. One of you, I want you to take the hand, one hand of the other person, to touch it. And then between your thumb and your finger, hold the palm of their hand and feel their bones. You may be able to even feel their pulse in that hand. Imagine if you were holding Jesus' hand, and as you touched between the bones of that hand, you could feel the hole that goes through from the nail that held Jesus to the cross. And now I want you to reverse roles, to have the other person hold your hand. Your thumb and fingers feel the bones that make up the fingers inside the hand, and imagine the hole where the nail went that held Jesus to the cross. And now you may be seated. I want you to think about what it means to speak of the incarnation. That's what we call it when Jesus, God, came to earth. The incarnation, God in the flesh. And I want you to think about the fact that Jesus came back from the dead in bodily form, the resurrection. And think about our friend, Thomas. It's somewhat ironic to me that over the centuries that we've been reading this story, that we've come to know Thomas as Doubting Thomas. How many of you heard the story of Doubting Thomas? Well, if you think about it, we really ought to know Thomas as Absent Thomas, or maybe even Tardy Thomas. Because if you think about it, he doesn't really have any more doubts, any more questions than any of the rest of the apostles. It's just that he wasn't there to have the same experience at the same time. But regardless of the name that we associate with him, Thomas can be our friend in that he experiences the resurrection in much the same way that any of us would, that any of us do. It's likely that we feel some of the same things as Thomas felt as we are approached by the resurrected Christ. Put yourself in Thomas' sandals, if you will. Because I believe that each of us experienced Jesus Christ in exactly the same manner. Just like in the place of the apostles, Jesus comes to us when the world around us is swirling with danger and doubt and uncertainty and pain. Even when we believe that God is not there, Jesus comes through every barrier you erect. Jesus comes through locked doors. Jesus comes even through locked hearts. And he stands before you with the greeting, "Peace be with you." Jesus comes to you where you are. Often we don't even recognize him, but Jesus is gentle and he eagerly shows you the nail prints in his hands. He offers to you the gaping wound in his side. He'll be patient until you realize that, yes, in fact, this is the one who has defeated the power of sin and death. Jesus will help you to realize that He is the Messiah, the Son of God. And Jesus will offer you a gift, the gift of faith through God's amazing grace. Jesus will give you the gift of believing in Him because Jesus loves you fully. Hear me. Jesus loves you completely and unconditionally. John tells us that Jesus wants you to believe so that you may have life in His name. But you know, we often get stuck on this part of the story. We think about the way that Jesus deals with Thomas and Thomas's unbelief, about how Jesus affirms who He is and how much He loves Thomas. But once you are confident about recognizing Jesus and realizing that He truly is the Messiah, Jesus will then ask you to commit your life to Him, just as He is asking the original apostles to fully commit their lives to God's kingdom. Think about it. It's there in the story. Quote, Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I send you." When He had said this, He breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." At its heart, this is a story of evangelism and mission. You need to be clear that Jesus is your Lord and Savior, just like Thomas said, "My Lord and my God." And you need to accept the gift of faith and the gift of the Holy Spirit. But then you need to listen, because Jesus is calling you to action in ministry and mission, just like our friend Thomas. Feel the prints of the nails in His hands and believe. Amen.